Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
The Survivor Specialists, Phil, Will, Alexa, and Blake are back, all four of us, for the first time live. We're moving people around in orders here. Welcome back. Survivor 47 premiere is in the books, and we are here to break down everything that happened. A couple new twists, a very sad podcaster, actually kind of two very sad podcasters, a patron who had some questionable challenge performance and things like that and somehow got no votes. We'll be talking about that. Not our patron, of course. It's an RHAP patron. Rob has a podcast, gets mentioned for the first time ever in full on Survivor. That's an interesting little tidbit.
That means we're on deck, I think.
Wait, we're coming up.
Soon. Yeah.
Yeah, we are. We are. I'm waiting for it. We're going to get a full shout out here. But all four of us here, we're breaking it down.
I'd listen to Boston Rob's podcast for sure.
Deal or No Deal podcast.
What did we all think? We got to start with the vote. Andy got zero votes. Somebody, whoever wants to jump in first, why did Andy get zero votes? How did he get nothing? Like Rachel called him on she called exactly how he was going to be from the moment he stepped on the island and started talking to her. How did he get no votes tonight?
I think it's pretty simple because people are starting to realize how stressful these challenges are. Because both the beginning reward and the immunity were like seven steps long, all kinds of physical. And I think if you're a tribe mate who's going through that and you're like, damn, I don't want to do this with John ever again. Like, yeah, Andy almost passed out over there. But like, if we're going to have any shot at winning, I know we don't do swaps ever for like four turns. I need to have strength, and that just is bleeding back into Survivor all over again after going away from that for years.
My question is, was John's challenge performance like that subpar? Because I had the same feeling, Blake. I was like, these challenges are nuts. They're really, really fun. I would never want to do them. But I was watching them, and I was like, I don't think he is performing significantly worse than anybody else's, but I totally could have missed that.
Because the only time that I saw where John wasn't paying attention or doing something was he was not grabbing the chest that the other two dudes were. So that would be the only time of like, why do you think I'm so tired? I carried an entire chest that is way too heavy for our boat. Thanks a lot, challenge producers. But like, like I brought this big ass chest onto the boat and John just sat there and watched us do nothing. He really did not add anything. We are so far behind, there's no shot we had a chance at the puzzle.
See, I don't think this is challenge related. And I know that's probably what they talked about. And hey, look, I mean, Andy is, you know, more physically fit than John. But I think this is about realizing that John was playing the game really hard. Once he went over to Sam, Sam ran back to the three women and said, look, he's trying to move the vote on to Annika. He's going to be a threat down the line. He's not in our clique. Andy is someone you can absolutely get his trust back. He's almost a goat at this point, or someone that the other tribes are already looking at like, whoa, like, are we really going to vote for that guy to win $1 million? I think it's one of those people where they break down and then they come back and they like feel part of the family and you can work with him further down the line and he won't be as threatening. I think that's really what it came down to. They saw John. I mean, just the way he was speaking to Jeff at the welcome mat, at the challenges, at Tribal. I think it's just like, man, this guy is super with it. He's a threat. I don't want to have to worry about him writing our name down. If we go to Tribal Council again, guess what? We can vote out Andy. If John's still around, John can make something happen. He can turn the tides against you. So I think that ultimately is what kind of just painted a bigger target on John's back because he is so much of a bigger threat.
And you don't think, though, like, are they not just destined to be what Lulu was now, though, where like Hannah obviously quit at the beginning with Lulu. But are we not at the point right now where they're going to lose again? Like, I was in the same boat as Alexa here. And Will, I get what you're saying, but I was in the same boat where it was like, was John's challenge performance that bad? I felt like the entire tribe was a disaster.
That's why I don't think it was challenge related. I really don't.
Yeah.
And like these challenges, they both ended in puzzles. Like, that's where it really comes down to it. And
I don't know. Did Red even do the puzzle?
Red just—they slapped that puzzle together. I mean, they must have been so far ahead. Their boat somehow didn't flip over and sink, and I think that just gave them a huge lead. But I do think. I mean, I think they had the conversation about challenges. I think this was looking down the line, like who, how do the four of us get farther in this game? And I think it was like we get rid of John and we keep Andy. I think that's what it came down to.
Well, Rachel may have had, because I don't know if Rachel was open. As open with her tribemates as she was with us as viewers, that she like figured Andy out very, very quickly. But she very well could have said, like, Andy really trusts me. I can take care of this.
And imagine if you're Annika and Sam comes back and says, they're trying to flip the vote onto you. Like, Annika's not gonna be like, yeah, let's keep John around. John's the one trying to steer the vote against me. No way.
I was expecting her to go home, and I was very happy that she didn't, because this is how that vote goes a lot, and it just wouldn't have sat right.
This being said, I was still shocked that she voted out Andy. I was like going in, I'm like, I'm 80-20. I'm 80% sure Andy's going, 20% on John. And man, I mean, they're keeping Andy around.
I know. I know.
I think he's going to win a million hearts. That's who he reminded me of immediately. Oh,
yeah. Exactly. It did feel like we were getting Bonnie flashbacks. Absolutely.
I totally agree. And I was like, as I'm watching this, I feel like they still have an easy vote here if they lose again. But I feel like they would have had an easy vote next time because it felt like John was the easy vote. So like maybe it is, Will, what you're saying. It was just the strategic part of it. Don't let him start looking for idols, anything like that. But I mean, for me, it would piss me off if we're doing a challenge and the guy goes and lays over there. And then his reason when he comes back is I was overheating. And like you could tell, Jeff really wasn't giving it much the time of day. Because while I'm not going to discredit this as a panic attack and stuff, Jeff could immediately tell that there was actually no physical danger. Like he goes over and sees that. He's thinking Caleb from Korong, because that's how Caleb from Korong went down. And really, this was just like, I'm sitting here and I'm done and I'm going through this. And that's fine. Like I get like these things happen to people on Survivor. So I don't want to be like overly critical of him. But at the same time, if I'm on his tribe, I'm pissed. I'm sitting there and I'm going, I'm pissed. And then he's blowing everything up in front of the other two tribes. How do you know? I thought the point made, and I think it was either Rachel or Annika. I think it was one of those. It was probably Sierra now, right? But the point made of what if he goes on a journey? Is he just going to tell them everything? Yes. That would scare the shit out of me. So I think they made the wrong decision tonight. I would have kept John Lovett no matter how worried I am about his whatever. I'm keeping John Lovett and I'm voting out Andy.
I think the John thing also, after thinking about it, there was a little hint of it, of him being older, which, first of all, I thought we all knew what Vine was. Well, I didn't think Vine was that old. But that looking back, I was like, oh, he also didn't. There was a bit of a him not clicking with them. Probably, maybe not to the extent that Andy may not have been clicking with them, but there seemed to have already been some lack of true connection with him.
I think one thing too that was introduced with the Andy thing is like he's having one of the worst days of his life, and everything is coming to head of like this is a very emotional thing. He cannot trust. He does not have his like people around him that keep him even keeled. He's yearned for that for decades of his life, and all of that is kind of goes into the casting of like, do you think you'll be able to go on the island away from all that? You won't have your Dr. Pepper every morning. You won't have the chocolate cake at the end of the night. You guys don't do that. But it's like it's like a thing where he goes gung-ho of course I'm not going to need that. And we've seen that probably 10 or 15 times over the 46 seasons of Survivor and one episode of like, this is the worst day of his life. And it just happened to be on day 3. And like, should that ruin the, and sometimes when that happens to you on day 15 of Survivor, people are tired of your stuff and like, get out of here. Like, and doing stuff where you're like betraying your tribe in front of everyone should be a death sentence. But I think it's very lucky that it happened on the first tribal challenge of like, we could look the other way because we do want to be the people that give you that chance, that don't make Andy always not trust a new group of people. Because I went on national TV and it happened again and I bared my soul. Like it was kind of interesting too, because we're carrying over the story of Kinsey and Ben having that, like, you woke up in the middle of the night and I'll have your back. then we immediately see it the next season where somebody goes, absolutely not. Are you crazy? And like, I don't think they saw those episodes yet based on when they went for 47, but it was like, damn, like, I like that we're going from that season to this season, carrying on that story of like, would you do that when somebody wakes up in the middle of the night and goes, I'm freaking out, bro. I'm freaking out.
I do think that's an optimistic view though, to think that the four of them were like, let's give this guy another chance. I really think they were playing for themselves and their best interests.
Two things could be true, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think first votes are always weird because, like, the point that John made, I think a lot of people see this is like, it takes a while to get into a strategy flow. These people don't really know each other yet. And I think, like, they didn't verbally say this, and I don't want to make an assumption, but people don't like to do the easy vote. And we see that a lot. And I think people also don't love to do that on the first vote of the season. So I'm not saying they made a move to make a move, but I think we all agree that it would have made the most sense for Andy to go home. But I think people think that way.
Yeah, that's a good point for sure.
And let's ask this right here. Who's going to tribal council next week?
I don't know, Phil. I don't read spoilers like you.
I don't either. But I'm saying, like, if you had to guess right now, who's going to tribal council next week? Blake's the only one here who reads
spoilers. Blue tribe.
Oh, my God.
So don't listen to Blake. You think Blue Tribe is going to lose to this Yellow Tribe next week?
Yellow goes for sure.
Sam is like,
I don't think so. I mean,
Jaybird
can be anything. Like, we don't know what the challenge is. It can end in a carnival game where you're rolling balls up a dilly dally into another dilly dally, and who knows who's good at that? Like, I do think I'm not. It's five on five on five. Hey, they got rid of John. They got Andy's strength. So.
It could be a panic attack competition, bro. And then it's locked in.
Here's my thing. They were getting smoked in the reward challenge and then killed it on the puzzle. And let's just say right now, a graphic designer will never be useful on Survivor. Graphic designers are a waste of breath. We hate them. They are awful people. Like, what were you calling them? Like, gutter? I don't even know. Blake?
No.
Graphic designers. He hates them so much. They are the worst creations. They should never get on to Survivor.
Oh, my God.
And what happens in the first challenge of the season? The graphic designer uses
her crop and rotating all over that challenge
and dominates. But my point isn't just to rip Blake here. My other point is they were getting smoked until Rachel dominated that challenge. Now everybody has run two Survivor puzzles. I'm just saying that makes you feel more confident.
It's good they have two very good puzzle people in Annika and Rachel, because the second puzzle wasn't as hard. That's like kind of a jigsaw type deal. The other one was a little bit more, I don't know, something that a graphic designer might be good at.
Yeah. And Alexa, and I think
Mother.
Yeah, Alexa Mother. I just wanted to throw that out. People,
I feel like if Sierra's cutting coconuts in the back of her backyard, she may have bought a puzzle or two from Venmo or where
Idle Play.
Venmo.
Yeah, but where are they cheering?
I have a puzzle from Idle Plays. We have a sponsorship. Click.
Yeah. Oh, shoot.
Oh, fun.
Were they cheering Blake though? Were they cheering when Sierra opened the coconut though? That's the question.
Did anybody else
That's
find
crazy.
That weird?
Yeah.
Was anybody else like I don't feel like
it's a very defeatist attitude, and I get that way sometimes of like, I play a card game, and I do see some other people when they win the card game weekly, people go, let's go. And then if I win, it's maybe like a little more subdued because I'm annoying sometimes. And like, they're probably just annoyed with Andy in that moment. And like, I'm trying to celebrate someone else. Like, you'll have your moment tomorrow.
Yeah. I also, as someone who has certainly been in situations where my confidence is low, like what, regardless of what people actually did or did not, the feeling that people want someone else, people are happier for someone else and not happy for something that you did because you think that they hate you is just it is easy to spiral off of that.
Mm-hmm. God, we're crazy. Very understanding.
I don't think the thought is that crazy. It's more that he said it out loud in front of the entire cast. Like,
yes.
I think we've all been in a situation where it's like, oh, everyone's loving these, you know, I'm back the bus today. Like, whatever. Like that's, I think we've all been there and it sucks, but to just say out loud, like I chopped a coconut and they didn't cheer, but they cheer when John, it was like, man, like it was a tough moment.
What do you think if you're another tribe, what are you thinking when he's saying all this? You're like,
They were shushing each other, being like, be quiet. Let's hear this shit. I mean, that's how you have
to. They were shocked. They did have shocked faces. Like, what is going on?
Because I don't remember another time like this, except for maybe like the Hans kid goes and like everyone's like, oh,
yeah, shit, but that was like, that was different. That was like, I'm going to murder Philip Shepherd.
The only problem I will say with the second half of this episode, there weren't enough like keys and boxes in the second half. You know,
wait, we haven't gotten quite there yet, have we?
That's a perfect segue. Great job. That was a
simple segue. First, I want to say on that challenge, why did we cut to commercial during the challenge? Survivor doesn't do that. We're not the challenge. We're not some MTV show. We are Survivor. What are we doing?
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
2 hour episode, different ad breaks.
Gotta get to them. Bad. Alexa, you're muted. What did you do? Alexa hasn't podcasted in a while. There you go.
I forget how to do this. I didn't love that. I know the commercial breaks have to be what they are, but I think it was tough because there was a non-exaggerated hour of talking before that. So I was like, why couldn't we have just done the commercial during one of these like tribes?
We could have done every commercial break
every other time
Fox or Key was found, and we wouldn't have had to have a commercial break for the rest of the season.
No, but I have to watch it. I don't get dropped into a different hole.
Did you not like this one?
What?
Yeah, box. You will.
Well, I don't know if there's a lot to talk about. I think it was
there's the four boxes.
Yeah, no, this was a lot. I think it was a lot of boxes and keys for one episode. I don't mind the idol mechanic as much as like we had the, I felt like a 20-minute long segment with TK and Asia also looking for keys and boxes. And then even in the challenge, it was get your treasure chest and get keys and unlock your treasure chest. So it was just like, I think it was a lot of that.
They're shooting in Kiji?
Yeah, there we go.
Wow. Oh my god, dude. We got Blake's
on fire. No, I think what's more interesting, what we should talk about, is the mechanic of the idol of like you find it, then you deposit it to, you know, go to your next phase, and do you want to extend it and all that, which I think is interesting. It just did feel like this premiere, we spent so much time with the boxes and the keys and the driftwood and the climbing and the all that stuff. Whereas like we could have spent that getting to know the cast. I think that's probably my biggest gripe with the premiere, but it definitely, this left like a lasting impression. Like with the whole Annie thing, it left like a mark. Like you come out of this episode feeling a certain way. It's a distinct hour or 2 hours of television for sure. I don't know if it's my favorite premiere, but it's not one of those premieres where you're like, huh, nothing happened. Like a lot happened here.
Yeah, it's not the 46 premiere, because the 46 premiere had Jelinski and his lies, which was just unbelievable. But it's certainly one of the stronger premieres, I think, of the new era, because I think the new era has had a couple dud premieres with injuries and things like that. I guess for me, I actually thought this was a really fun mechanic. I thought this was a fun little twist on idols in this game. I think it's a unique way, because the question I posted it on Twitter, and I'd ask it to all of you too, like, where would you stop? Would you keep going to try to get the full idol? For me, I've said the whole time, get an idol, just play at the first tribal council you go to anyway. So I would grab the idol on that first one, and I wouldn't even consider going further with that. But we saw Rome, Gabe, like really start to put himself in some danger there as he continued looking through, and then eventually he stopped. I was kind of surprised.
I would have stopped or Gabe stopped. I would have gone one more, because I think having one idol – like being required to play an idol if there's a chance where you're not even going home, I think just puts a target on your back. Him having it for three tribals can probably get him to the merge, considering that there's three tribes. I liked the box mechanic. I also liked how big it was. So it was very easy to get noticed, like when he dropped that and that like woke everybody up. I thought that was good. Will, I couldn't agree with you more on, we spent way too much time on it, but I think that's just...
Yeah, I don't hate the boxes and the mechanic of it. It's more in the premiere. It's like, I want to get to know everybody. I think that was it.
It was weird because it was blue box and then red box. And so in my mind, I'm like, well, this is going to matter for the first elimination. Like, that's why they're spending so much time on this, is Gabe is going to screw this up. And my mind with that, and as soon as yellow lost, I was like, oh,
Did we need so much box? Yeah.
But I actually don't mind like getting that from those tribes, because I thought it was a unique way for the tribes to bond. I feel like I know that red tribe pretty well, because it feels like it's them against Rome, because Rome was being so shady that there's no way it's not going to be versus Rome.
Which is great. Now, Rome does have an idol, though. So even if they vote Rome, he can play it. He has the idol, right?
Gabe has the idol. We have not seen Rome do it.
We're still wondering what Rome's going to do next.
Okay, he got the thing at the bottom of the well, though. That was his first step,
and then he hasn't done anything since,
so we haven't seen whether he's gonna risk it or not.
I don't even think he knows about it yet.
He doesn't know. He hasn't unlocked by it, but he's well on his way. He's getting to that step at least, because he got what he needed from the bottom of the well, which was hilarious. That was great.
Yeah,
I love that. They hit it in the well. He comes out soaking wet. It's like he couldn't even stand there to be like, what's up, guys? Because he's dripping. His clothes are soaked. So he just has to walk away. And they call him out like, no hello? It's like, he had no choice there. Loved that. That was awesome.
This water tastes like Rome now, too.
I know. I was like thinking that his sandy, sweaty self.
Are we going to have one of those things where it was like 4 days ago on episode 3, it'll be like Rome did all of this? Or do you think they'll ever do that again?
I think what's going to happen is, I think in this first episode, Gabe's storyline with the idol ended. We know where his is at. I feel like Rome's now, we're going to see the culmination of that in episode 2. I don't know what's going to happen with Yellow, but I actually think it felt like a lot this episode. I feel like it's going to feel like a lot less moving forward, because I do think, let's say Yellow finds theirs in the next episode, I think it's going to be snappy. I think it's going to move really, really quick. Because also, how great was it when TK walked up on Gabe? There's no way they're not showing that and the ramifications afterwards.
It did seem like Rome's was harder, though, too. Mm-hmm.
Especially with the ink on the branch. I'm like, if they just looked where he was, they would have seen this huge message on a tree that you need to go into the well. Let's talk about the TK and Gabe vibe, because that seems a little rocky right now.
I mean, I feel like it should be, right?
He was like, I went to Towson, and they were like, I know that. And
Blake's over here saying they're going to bond because they're both from Baltimore. And now here we go. They're both, now they hate each other. I mean, I feel like if you're TK, how do you trust that guy?
I think Gabe was like, I think like eagerness was the theme of the premiere, but Gabe, I think, was just like coming in super hot. And I think he did not consider the fact that he was like grabbing at this gigantic vine without like telling anyone where he was going or what he was doing. So yeah, I originally thought that TK bought it, but I'm glad he didn't, because it was pretty easy to see through.
But do you think that's the right move by Gabe? Or do you have to come completely clean? Like, hey, I found the Beware advantage. I found the key. Like, let's work together and make something happen. Or, because I feel like you either got to, I don't know what you do. I don't know. This half lie is like almost shadier.
I think you'll never get full trust either way. But I think anytime you admit like you're wrong or you mess something up, that's going to endear the other person more to you.
Yeah, it's kind of what I think. Just be like, all right, sorry, man, you caught me. Like, let's do this together. And like really bro down on it. Like, I feel like that's the move.
That's what I probably would have done. I feel like doing it this way, you do just add the suspicion. And then every time people are hearing noises, they're talking about like, what is he chopping down a tree in there? Like, what is he doing? And you got TK not feeling good about you. Then he's probably going to go talk to some people. And TK has one heck of a personality. I mean, TK came back from doing that thing with Asia. He has the pot and everything. And it was like, oh my God, dad's home. This is so great. He's been at work all day and we've just been missing him. And like, here he is. the way they were reacting, and I love the confessionals about, like, it's a bromance. Like, they are in love with this guy. And I think, you know, TK, he's got an electric personality. And so for him to see Gabe, Gabe is putting himself in a bad spot by not befriending him in a better way. And yeah, Gabe did this to himself. So you can't really blame anybody but him. But it's just interesting. I don't know. I don't know what I would have done, but I feel like I would have had to have told the truth because I'm not going to be that good of a liar in that moment on day one or two.
I will say, though, for all of the shenanigans that Gabe went through and people being a little bit sus, he came out with the three tribal idol. And I feel like at the end of the episode, it's like, all right, we're kind of sitting pretty with Gabe. I don't know. At least I got that impression that, like,
he went through guarding his treasure.
That's right. His gold. He's sitting on a pile of gold. Just like dragons do. Definitely not leprechauns.
I was like, that's Smog not a thing I've ever
heard. Yeah, I was like, I don't think dragons really do the gold thing, really. I think, yeah.
Smog in The Hobbit, he does the gold. He's in the pile of gold.
Is he the same one who made the dragon? Didn't he make a reference? Didn't he say my precious at some point too? I think maybe this is all.
He's a Lord of the Rings guy. Is that what you're getting at here? Yeah.
He's getting subtle Lord of the Rings references.
But he learned from his mistake because then he involved Sue. And that worked for him. So
Sue's great. Sue's going straight to top five or something. I'm so excited for her. in thinking about this though, are you guys more, if you were on the show, would you be more of an Andy over the first 3 days or more of a TK? Where are you on that scale?
TK 100%.
I'm starting to realize I would lose Survivor so bad.
I think I would be more than Andy. I think there are so many people that have no idea how quickly they could fall into the Andy role, because especially with a six-person tribe, like if you don't click with like two of the people, and it's just you don't click with everybody. I mean, at least most people don't. I certainly don't. Like, you click with some people. Some people don't get along with. And that's your dream. There's so much pressure. The cameras are rolling. This is everything you've worked for. Mm-hmm. So many people rooting for you. And then you just freak out. Like, that could be any of us. I absolutely believe that.
No. I'd be TK. I'd be chilling. I'm hanging out.
TK chilling.
I would say that I'm TK, but I would in actuality be Andy.
Oh, man. Here's the thing, though. I don't think any of us would fall to the degree that Andy was in this episode. Maybe Blake. I don't think any of the rest of us would fall to the degree of Andy in this episode. I really don't. I
was going to throw Angela under the bus.
I really think that, like, I think that we'd all be able to be even keeled enough. I think the problem with Andy was when Rachel wouldn't kind of give into what he needed. Give in's the wrong word. But when she wouldn't give him what he needed that night, he lost his mind over it. And you have to understand, like, that's one person. That's not the end all be all, but he seemed concerned about going to Sam or Annika or Sierra. And I don't think that any of us in this group right here would have a problem going to the other three people. I feel like Andy felt when he said, I only need two. I feel like what happened to him is what happens to a lot of Survivor super fans. That was his plan. That plan is all he was focused on. He talked to those two. It didn't work out. And all of a sudden he said, shit, what am I supposed to do now? So that's what I personally think.
That's a good point. I'm looking in the comments and I think this is a very small factor, but I think really exists. There are six people on each tribe. There is very little wiggle room. Yeah. So for those plans, like, I agree with you, Phil, you can't have just one plan and you cannot be stuck to it. But, or in addition to that, you lose two people, there really aren't many people to look for. Yeah. So I think that dynamic is proving a little frustrating because a situation like this actually might not have happened if we had a 10-person tribe.
Yeah, but I almost think...
bring us back.
If we had two 10-person tribes, I almost think John Lovett is the first boot.
How does John Lovett not be the first boot on any season of Survivor? What does he need?
To win the community challenge?
I don't think he could.
Oh, come on.
Come on, dude. Laura, or whatever her name is, from Heroes, our Fans vs. Favorites 2, who was like literally the worst challenge performer ever, won 2 or 3. Like, anybody can.
Wow, that's what great. A deep cut.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. I just remember her trying
to climb a Patreon or something?
She was trying to climb over the damn thing, and I'm like, this is the worst player physically in Survivor history. Scout and Jan won challenges. Like, what are we talking about, Blake? Come on. Okay, where did I want to? Where should we go next? Where should we go? Those are like the big talking points there. What else? Oh, I wanted to bring this up with the challenge, Bo, because maybe you can shed a little bit of light on this. Is Red not at an advantage by being in the middle of the other two tribes there? Because the other two tribes can drift all the way away. I was thinking about this. They can drift really far out, and those two tribes both flipped because they were trying to get themselves back straight. If Red goes right or left, they're hitting into one of the other tribes.
Well, that if they're as far along in the water, they could either go behind a boat or in front of a boat.
Yeah, I'm just
why don't they regulate the ocean more for everyone?
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm just wondering.
What did you guys like the fact that the boats were constructed in a way that they were destined to flip over with how big the carts were? Or did you hate it? I loved it because it was so annoying, and so I really liked that.
I think it's one of those things where there's probably a right way to do it, so it didn't totally. And I get maybe Red got lucky, but that's like, you're right with how heavy those crates were, and you have six people, and the boats were like pretty shallow, like there wasn't much depth, like so it could take on water so easily. And that was probably intended.
Yeah.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
I liked it.
Why are the challenges so hard in episode one? Why isn't that like a...
That's the new era, baby. Now that you're used to this...
Let's do this episode four. Please,
given nothing.
That's what Jeff loves about the first one. It's always mud, too. There's always mud in the first thing they do. You got to get your clothes dirty. You got to, like... It's going to be really physical. It's going to be long. It's going to be tiring. And it's just hammering home how hard this game is. Like, you got up off the couch. You applied. You are here. You're ready to go. Like, that's the new era mantra. This game is shorter, but it's harder. It's faster, harder, stronger, Blake. Come on, you've been here.
Blake, this is the new era.
I just haven't watched Survivor in like 2 days.
So you have the most calories in your body that you will for the next, whatever, 6 weeks. One, I can't speak to your situation, Blake. And they're all like, in premieres, you can tell they're all like hopped up and nervous. I think it like burns the nervous energy off. So
I also think, like, you can't tell me that first challenge, seeing them actually run into the woods like this was Survivor Guatemala or something, wasn't awesome. The filming on that first challenge.
Well, the drone shot of Kyle was great.
Incredible. And, like, I miss that so much. I miss these, like, where there's still a puzzle at the end, but it's so much more of, like, an actual run into the woods. There's an advantage for just being faster than other people. There's an advantage for just being stronger. So much now takes place in water, and then it's drag something. Like, that's that immunity challenge we've seen so many times. But I miss run into the woods and untie this. And you see the panic setting in for the yellow tribe on that first portion when they can't figure out how to untie right. I miss that. I thought that first challenge was so well shot and well done that – yeah, I wish we had more challenges like that. So, Blake, I love it in the first episode.
You, John, love it?
I, John, love it.
Should Survivor be something that the average person would struggle with or the average person could do?
No, they should struggle.
All right.
It's called a challenge. It's not called a medium difficulty.
And that's what makes it exciting.
There we go.
That's what makes it
Survivor is great. We're saying the same thing, Phil. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you make it hard. Make it hard. But also, I think you need to cast people that are like, I am an Olympic swimmer. Like going away from that kind of casting, and now it's like, I'm an Olympic talker. Well, Tribal Council doesn't come for another hour and a half, and I'm sure you're going to be really good at that. But now here's 500 pounds for you to move, and you're just going to be like, oh, I'm just going to come up with a lot of analogies later, but like, you guys got to do this. This isn't my forte.
Yeah.
It was weird though. This challenge wasn't like, I don't know if they do like smaller opening challenges. They went right into a full blown reward challenge. Mm-hmm. We had no Sweat versus Savvy either. So this was like definitely a mix up from what we've gotten. Did we miss Sweat versus Savvy?
No.
I actually loved the scavenger hunt. And that felt, what I was going to say to what you said, Blake, is I think we're spending a lot of time focusing on, or the show is spending a lot of time focusing on people who are not performing in challenges. And other than Jonathan from a few seasons ago, like, I can't think of a time where we spent a lot of time on someone who is amazing at challenges. And so, like, Elizabeth and Janet from 39, like, it was insane watching two people who are really, really good at swimming do swimming challenges. So I think it's important to cast people on all ends of the physical spectrum, but I want also to focus on the people who are really good, because it's great to watch people who are actually good at challenges. And the scavenger hunt, I think, is a very, like, everyone has done a scavenger hunt. I thought that was really fun. And Aisha, like, thought, like, I thought she could win. I thought she was going to do it. Is that her name?
Asia,
sorry. I didn't do a single bit of preseason read, so that was my mistake.
Shame on you.
Sorry, Asia.
For 6 months. So
she forgot where the ocean was, so she lost. I was like,
I love that.
PK's mentality. Same girl. I'm forging my own path like I've done my whole life. I'm like, oh.
And then he couldn't find the thing in the water.
So
it was
fun.
It was suspenseful at the end.
Yeah.
And, I mean, big credit at Asia for getting in the good graces of her tribe as quickly as she did. I mean, that whole segment is pretty much set up to make you think these players are going off to get an idol or an extra vote or some sort of advantage for themselves. Guess what? It was just tribe gear, and one person was going home without it. Like, you're coming home being like, yeah, I lost a one-on-one challenge, and that was it. I would be totally suspect of her and be like, there's no way. There's no way Survivor just did no advantages or anything on the opening journey of a season. And it seems like she integrated really, really well. So I'm happy she's on my fantasy team. Mm-hmm. Even though I lost my boy John tonight.
It really helped her that Teeny was on the tribe. And it's funny because we get asked all the time, if we were going to be on Survivor, how do we think we would do? Asia is on a much larger platform than any of us. And Asia was only recognized by one person out there.
That scene was wild to watch.
Yeah.
I was like, this is it.
Yeah. And so Teeny recognizes Asia. But then Teeny also recognizes that by letting the entire tribe know that she knows who Asia is going to bury her. So she can't do it. But I actually think that helped Asia a lot, because when she says to Asia, I know who you are, in that moment, Asia, being as good about the game as she is, if she was lying, she would have told Teeny in that exact moment. But because she's just been called out as like, I know you're very smart and you know Survivor. And now that happening kind of makes Teeny say, all right, I have to trust Asia on this moment. There's really like, she must have just gotten screwed by this situation. And I think that's what helped her integrate. And I think Asia's a likable person, and Rome is painting a bullseye on his back right now.
I think Asia handled that absolutely flawlessly. She did a really good job.
She's gonna kill it. I think new strategy on the first day, just go up to everybody on your tribe and go, I know who you are. And see what they do.
And they go, oh my god, I didn't think anyone would notice. I do work at Starbucks. You come in all the time.
I am a landscaper. That would be so sick.
That's so funny. John, by the way, Asia ended the night with the most confessionals. 12. She got 12.
Wow.
You didn't even go home.
Gabe got 10. And guess who didn't hit 10? They ended with 9. John Lovett. So if you in our prospect game put John Lovett as 10 or more confessionals in an episode,
you're getting
hit
leave it.
9.
I presume a lot of people did that.
He did get a confessional in every episode he was in, though.
And you had that, right, Will?
For 3.
Yeah. He also had the episode title, and he got 5 or fewer votes.
Boom.
And
everyone swore.
Yeah, and we got rid of that one. We dumped
did
it.
We really?
Yeah, we did. We had to dump that one. But guess who
I didn't know that one. That used to be one. That's a good one.
Blurred mouth.
It was cute. It was like everybody got it though.
And guess who had John Lovett with five or fewer votes? This guy right here, Will. We both nailed John Lovett. Good for us. Wow. We knew exactly where that was going.
We also got an "I love you, Jeff" from Andy, and I was debating maybe we add that to the hug after.
I love
so
you.
It goes hug, and then it's "I love you, Jeff."
And Jeff said "I love you" back
without missing a beat.
I don't think he meant it though.
No, he did not. He absolutely did not. And I know we already talked about that, but Phil was so right when I was like, Jeff was very quick to be like, this is not a medical issue. This is an emotional issue. And that's why he really wanted to get Andy talking about it. Because Andy was like, I'm just hot. Sorry. All good. They almost walked back to camp. Like, Jeff pried that out of Andy.
Yeah.
Who are you guys sad we didn't get more of this early on? Because I was like, where's Teeny at? I want more Teeny.
I think we Teeny got a little bit. Yeah, I think we got a good amount of Teeny with the Asia moment. I wish we would have gotten a little bit more, but I feel like that helped. And also it felt like Teeny was the leader of the Follow Rome crew, which was good. Kyle, I felt like, was the one I was missing the most. I feel like Saul was the most purple.
Did he have a confessional?
He had one confessional. Yeah, he had one confessional. But Kyle had a really good, strong confessional. And then he followed it up by talking about coming from the town with four stoplights or whatever. And then after that, I was like, oh, man, like, I want to hear more about this Kyle guy. And he just vanished from the show.
We didn't get much Genevieve. She's on my team.
She had one professional as well.
Somebody looks – there's a couple people that look so different from their promo materials where I was like, who is this? And it was like, oh, that's who you're going to be on the show. Like, I thought you were going to be like – a prim and proper, oh, you're going to be someone who talks shit or whatever. And like, it was very funny to see Tiana where I'm like, oh, you're from Hawaii. Let's go. Because I thought it was going to be like, I don't know. Like, it was very different than what I thought. And so I'm glad that we're like getting to see these people. And we should always do drafts after episode one. That way we don't get stuck with anyone.
Then we can't split the team, dude.
Good, John.
That was Wilbur, I think.
Oh, that was me. Wow. Yeah, but I got, I don't know, some confessionals.
Happens to the best of us.
Well, that's it.
That's it. I know it's not updated yet, but yes, Will, you picked John over somebody.
Over
Annika, baby.
Annika.
Yeah, the most prepared survivor person of all time.
Yeah, let's do like a quick jump around on some of these players because there's some
and the tribes. Maybe we go tribe by tribe.
So let's start off with the yellow tribe because I feel like we talked about John a lot. We've talked about Andy a lot,
which is called Geta, and it's going to be every pun for the rest of the season.
It's gotta.
As we gotta get a new specialist, or we gotta get a new. person on the show, or we gotta get John out of here.
Yeah, your text earlier was good. It was, we gotta get a new tribe.
Should have been, we gotta get a new boat based on when he texted it, but he's only like 60% clever. So, what did we think about the third man on that tribe, Sam?
Oh, I love Sam. I thought Sam might be. I don't know. Do we still do MVP?
MVP? That's your pick.
He's not going anywhere. He's going to be deep into the
Sam
game.
Sam was MVP for sure. I loved his whole rant about the glue guy and him. He was just kind of fitting in with who would take him. It seemed like the guys went up to him with some level of trust to be like, we're going to flip the vote and we're going to take out one of the women. So like clearly. Some connection to the men, even though it seems like he's in good with all the women. That's a group of four right there. And I loved his like, guys, we should be working on fire. And they're like, yeah, that's literally what we're doing. He's like, good.
Nice.
Awesome. And like, he's like, and that came after he was like, I don't want to be the best. I don't want to be the worst. And it's just like a very middling, like, yeah, I'm fit in. And the way he was able to take in the information from the men and get it to the women in a pretty seamless way where the heat didn't come back on him at all. Sam was great. I was surprised actually.
Yeah, I was into Sam too. And I like that it fell into his lap where Andy pulled John away and Sam was like, great, it's the four of us. Look at us. This is gonna be awesome. The glue guy thing, Will, was something you would that is your first confessional if you ever play Survivor. Like that was I was like, man, I feel like I'm having a conversation with Will. He finally got on the show. Like Jordan says here, he was gaslighting, but in a good way.
We need a word for that, actually.
Yeah, that's positive gaslighting.
Yeah. What about the three women over there? I feel like Annika got lumped into the leader role. Sierra, Will, you thought she was going to be like a confessional machine. We actually didn't hear that much from her.
And she was fun, though. She was good at tribal, too.
She was good at tribal. That's a good
point. Yeah, Jeff asked her the first question, which in my mind is always like, production gets to decide that, whether it's Jeff asking or they're editing that. So, like, they're looking for Sierra to be a star, you guys. So, yep. I'm pumped about her.
And then Rachel was the third.
Rachel was great too.
Rachel is so good. She's good.
I think she's sticking around.
She had the right mentality coming into this game. And I thought, you know, it's never easy to be the person who's kind of like on the receiving end of what Andy was putting out there. And I think she handled it as well as she could have without hurting herself with the rest of the tribe. Like if Andy goes home next week, she's fine. If Andy sticks around for a little while longer, she's actually positioned herself pretty well with Andy because he feels the closest with her. And now with John gone, what's he going to do? So I feel like Rachel really came to play. She killed it in that first puzzle. Obviously I'd say out of all the women there, she's doing the best. I feel bad for Annika. Like Annika got the stray vote there. She was called a leader and she was doing the market managing thing or whatever it was. But I feel
it
like
never got that negative though with her, which was interesting because so often it's like we get the leader and they're cutting. It's like a montage of move those pom-poms, maybe the shelter here, go get water. And then you get the confessional of like, hey, Annika, she's bossing us around. She's driving us absolutely crazy. Mm-hmm. We never got that. We just got like, hey, I'm glad she's the leader and not me from Sam. But it's not like anyone would seem that put off by her being the leader. So that's actually, I think, a good sign for her.
I agree.
Yeah. I hope the stray vote doesn't like put her in people's minds for future votes. But I think that won't be a concern because of what we're seeing in the preview with Andy. Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you think Andy can? How far do you think Andy can get?
Did you see the preview? Sorry, Blake, to interrupt. Did you see the preview? It was him chopping a coconut and everyone cheering. Like that was actually in the preview.
Because I did see the preview where it was like Sam was like, I never expected Andy to say this.
Uh oh. Is this Banu part two? Is that where we're going?
I hope not, man.
What's wrong with Banu?
I just hope it's not that.
What's the second tribe's name? Lavo?
Lavo, the red tribe. You want to talk about the red tribe? We talked about Rome a whole bunch.
Rome, what's up with Rome? Crazy. Rome, I think it's something where, yes, all of that same energy from Andy, but your tribe kind of won. And then you did find the thing on the log and you're like, okay, sick. And like, all that nervous energy and like, are you aware that there's five people or four people looking at you the whole time? And like, oh, who cares? I could maybe get a box or whatever. I'm interested to see where he goes because it does seem like Asia does not like him. Mm-hmm. And that's a like, oh, you're going to want her to like you. Mm-hmm. Is this from Rome? But
this is from Thomas. Just a lot of questions about Rome, and we were talking about Rome. So
I feel like this is a good one.
Yeah.
I think also, was it Teeny who threw out Rome's name at first? And like, that's a very good sign for Teeny that you can throw a name out, and everyone's like, yeah, totally aligned. Like, everyone is on the same page with that. And yeah, to answer question number three, no, I don't think Asia likes him.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought he was going Rome, you know?
Dude. We're not doing this. He's out. Good.
What was the pun there even? Was
going home? But it's going
home.
Going home, but putting it all together as well.
Rogue or something.
Damn, that's what I thought too. Sorry. I Blake, you're on your own on that one.
Well, no, but Red won the immunity challenge. So going home wasn't my first thought.
Yeah.
That would have been, I think it would have been incredible if Red loses because Rome is getting that idol. I think he'll play it the first time and then we'll get a crazy tribal. Mm-hmm. So
how many times do you think we got somebody going home with an idol this season? Is that just going to happen again and again and again and again?
No, because I think what's going to happen is I think Rome is going to get his and he's going to use it at the first one. I really do. I think, I mean, maybe he goes big and he wants to go do whatever, but I think I could see Rome being the guy who's like, I'm going to get this idol. I'm going to play it the first time, and then I'm going to go get another idol. Like, I could see that being his mentality. So I don't know.
Because I know we're in the middle of the Lavo part, but like, you got to watch all of 45. You got to watch most of 46. What is going through your head as a huge Survivor fan of how has the game transpired through those seasons where you're like, now I want to change this about my gameplay?
It's a very deep question.
Yeah.
I think you're with this.
Is it digging deeper's topic for tomorrow? Tune in.
Yeah. No, we're doing noon Eastern time. Digging deeper. Phil and Blake.
9 a.m. Pacific.
Phil well, Blake, I'm not going to be back on digging deeper. So I'll give my take now. I do think that the idol mechanic that they're using this season, I think more people would be inclined to turn their idol into a full powered idol until Final Five if they hadn't seen the recent seasons. And now that you've seen the recent seasons, you're like, you know what? Just give me the idol. Let me play it. Maybe I'll get another one. And there's like no reason to let it burn a hole in your pocket. And you're going to every tribal council, not knowing whether you're going to play or not. People talk about who has it. And I think people would be more inclined to do what Gabe did and say, you know what? Three tribals is plenty long enough for me.
When they left for Fiji, though, they hadn't seen the five episodes in a row or whatever from 46.
They didn't see the five episodes in a row, but they had seen, I think, like two or three of them because it was somebody's answer to their hot take question. That's good. Blake, you're unbelievable. I think
you know how you pronounce it? It's that song that goes, you're unbelievable.
Is that how the song goes? I think the song says unbelievable.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, someone's hot take, or we call it their soapbox because none of the takes were that hot. Or we're just like, play your damn idols, people. I think it might have been Annika who said that. Just like, if you get one, play it. So
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Digging and deeper. There's the digging deeper done.
Who else is in Lavo then?
Who are the other men on that tribe? It is Saul. It is
Keyshawn.
Is it Keyshawn who's the other
guy? I liked him.
Keyshawn is the ER doctor. Yeah. And it was very cool where he's like, don't eat that clam. It's going to have bad stuff inside of it. And yeah, it's like, you know what? I maybe would have gotten there, but I believe you. And like, I think it's so funny because you're going to believe an ER doctor for everything. But will you believe him when he comes to like strategy? And I just explained all of Survivor's entire existence. But like, that's something where it's like, I think he's going to be able to tell the difference when he's like, why did you believe me about the clam? But now you're looking at me a little bit weirder when I'm like, are we all against Rome? And you're like, oh, I kind of like Rome.
I feel like Keyshawn's going to be a personality on the show. I don't feel like he's going to be a strategist. I don't think he's going to go very far. He could go far, but I don't think he's going to be integral to the actual gameplay that's taking place on this season. I think that's going to hurt him. I like Keyshawn. I thought his confessional was funny. I did. It was a hermit crab, Blake. Come on, get it together. But I thought it was funny. I just remember him saying hermit crab because I was like, why were they gonna eat a hermit crab? Like a clam is so much more believable. It makes so much more sense. But I just felt like what we got from him was funny, so why didn't we get more from him? Like to me, Genevieve, who's also on that tribe, who didn't hear much from. She's very mellow. And Will, you called this in the cast assessment. You said out of everybody, she sounds like the least. It's not that she's not excited to be there, but she's so even keeled compared to everybody else. I think she's bound to get kind of overshadowed in this season. And if she starts getting confessionals week after week and she starts to get more and more, that's a sign to me that she's going to be sitting in the final three. Because I think that with the rest of this cast, with how loud and over the top they are, the people who didn't get confessionals tonight or who just got one, Saul, quieter guy. Genevieve, quieter. Caroline, quieter. Kyle, quieter. Keyshawn's really the only one who fits in there that doesn't fit with the others. They really did kind of go in order of who are our huge personalities all the way down to like who are our smaller personalities, at least for get to know this cast. So I just thought that was interesting. Genevieve, I don't really see necessarily picking up more confessionals as we go through more screen time, but Keyshawn, I think, probably will.
Okay, that's Gata. That's Lavo. Who's next?
Wait, did we get everybody on Lavo there?
I guess we didn't.
Asia was the other woman.
We didn't gush about Asia yet. Asia's amazing.
Yeah, we have to say that, right? Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, like you can't be like, oh, she's on that podcast. I don't know if we like her. Like, she's amazing. I can't wait for her to like hit every mile marker she wants to hit, goalpost. I can't wait for her to plan some blindside. I hope she gets top five. It's going to be great the whole time.
I love that she tried to grab the key while TK was like futzing with the key and she just started to grab it from him. I was like, good for you. You're there.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's a shame that TK has those pythons, you know, otherwise she would have been fine. It's just,
she had it.
She never had a chance. It was funny when he was explaining that later of like, you know, oh yeah, like she tried to come over and grab it for me. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, just very funny to me, especially since earlier in that episode, I think it was Asia, right, who made the fly swatter analogy. That was her. And that I thought was that her. Was funny because kind of the way TK handled that was kind of like with the fly swatter. It was like, get off of me. I thought that was very funny. So, but very good analogy. I think she's going to be good, especially with John Lovett going out as early as he just did. We're going to need some, I think now she's a podcaster.
We're going to need some podcaster voice.
We also talk about John quickly. Like, he was really good for one.
He was great.
Like, I don't know if we've said that yet.
Completely. He's an Olympic talker. Yes, of course.
His conventional of I wrote speeches for, or I did whatever for Hillary Clinton. I wrote speeches for Obama. And now I have to tell people I'm a podcaster.
That was funny.
Incredible. Because like, honestly, you've gone up in the world. You got out of politics to now talk about politics. And you probably make more money. Like, you're killing it, John. But that's just so funny. And the way he handled that, I thought he was great. I really did. Mm-hmm. He was a very good casting choice. It might be a little bit of stunt casting, but it didn't feel like it. So that was good.
Yeah, because I think he isn't like...
It didn't feel stunt-casty today. I will agree with you. It felt stunt-casty all the way
Blake
until
is
this
the
episode.
Arbiter of stunt-casting.
And yeah. I was like, okay, I am kind of like, thank God we didn't get 17 episodes with him because I think it would have gotten a little iffy. But one and done, great.
17 episodes, that would be like a season and a half.
That happens. A lot of people come back for All-Stars.
Hey, come back.
But before we go to yellow, before we go to blue, the commercials tonight were insane. Apparently there's FBI three different times in a row on Tuesday nights starting next week. What the hell is that?
And there's
I didn't see Elspeth at all. Cerise talking about a movie that's like, you're going to want to see this. It's about survival. And then Jeff Probst is not as old as I thought he was when I'm watching. Like, on promotional material, he looks old, but still not coming through on the video.
I'm glad. Blake, we got to do a weekly update of Blake with... That's what our digging deeper is going to be, is digging deeper into...
How old is Jeff?
What is your take on... what's your take on Suri hyping up this Pixar movie?
Whoa, I'm just glad it wasn't DreamWorks.
Sorry. I forgot what podcast I'm on.
DreamWorks.
Whoa.
We're going to get sued by Pixar.
No, sorry. Which animated film that I don't know is affiliated with?
Anytime I see Suri is a good day, I guess. It did feel like she's getting paid two couches for this, and she needs new couches.
Here's actually why, Alexa, this is funny to me, and like why I did this. Because... this is the second movie now in two seasons that is a Universal movie, because DreamWorks is owned by Universal and then A Quiet Place is Universal, that has been promoted by a Survivor player. So
that did A Quiet Place.
That was D.
Oh, that was like, weird. I
you're going to want to survive.
Yeah, he was like walking.
Like through the city. So that's the reason why I knew it was DreamWorks. I honestly didn't even know it was DreamWorks until I looked up after. I'm like, it didn't look like Pixar. So I looked it up. And because that's a Universal property, I just think it's funny that Universal is currently...
Yeah, well, it should be a Paramount, right?
Well, yeah, it is. It's Paramount. But it's funny that Universal is going with Survivor players to do this stuff. I just
and I feel like Kinsey's busy with the new baby, so they had to pull in Serena. That makes
literally today.
Yeah.
We're also trying to. Kenzie was trying to just
should
like,
name it John Lovett. Yeah.
First name.
First Wait, name. Wait, also there was like Jeff was FaceTiming the guy from This Is Us in a promo for that show.
Oh, is Tracker, quite a, Tracker, yeah.
Quite a bit of extra content going on.
He was like, I love that.
Survivor Archivist, I can't wait for you promoting Jurassic World 5.
That's actually the funniest.
Just dinosaur comes running out of the cage. Big mistake. They turn off the power to the cages. Big mistake.
Big mistake. Being a dinosaur, big mistake.
I think these are the days we'll remember forever. I'm having a blast.
This I love hour. It.
I, so fun.
I don't feel like Andy at all right now. This
and,
is,
and I will,
this is my
I will
crew.
Say, too, like, Rome saying big mistake in this episode the way he did made Q explode on Twitter. Like Q went off. So I love that Q's still around and he's still doing all that stuff. Let's talk about this blue tribe before we go on for like an hour and a half.
Okay.
Let's talk about them. We have Sue Smay, we have Gabe, we have TK, we have Caroline, we have Kyle, and we have who was the other woman on this?
Tiana.
Tiana.
That's the most well-rounded tribe.
It's a solid tribe right there. Yeah, maybe they aren't going to tribal.
I feel like we got the least from them, so we probably won't. They probably won't be going to tribal.
It's always the blue tribe. It's
always
the blue tribe.
Always the blue tribe.
So well.
And the yellow tribes suck every time. I texted Brandon Donlan today. I'm like, there is something about the color yellow in this show, man.
It's so funny.
Yeah, it's yellow and
Do you think Sue and the flight attendant, whose name I can't remember, are going to talk about airplanes?
We actually didn't see them talk.
They didn't say a word
we
to each other.
We didn't see a lot of them. It was a lot of Gabe.
And the Gabe stuff made sense. And then he was going to Sue. And I thought Sue's story was fun tonight. I think it was good, like where she felt like she was going to be on the outside. And as the older woman, that really concerned her. And now she's finding a way in. And this is just great news for her. I thought that was really cool. So I'm happy for Sue about that. But yeah, I agree with you. Everybody else, like kind of from that tribe, aside from those two, and then TK had his stuff because he was over at the other beach. But
yeah, we got to know TK.
Caroline, Sue likes Caroline. That's really the only thing I know about Caroline. I don't know where Tiana's relationships are. And then Kyle's just like, my life wasn't good growing up, but here
Caroline
I am.
Caroline called out the bromance. So we gotta watch out for that. So there's
and Gabe,
gonna be a bromance
Gabe likes
or a
Sue.
Downfall or a
you know that about Sue is she's connected to multiple.
Yeah.
And like,
I was just going to say to the Will point with the Caroline thing, that actually is a good point because I will say when she was saying that, it kind of felt defeatist. Like she kind of felt like she was saying it as in there's really nothing I can do about it.
Yeah. Something to keep an eye on, I think. I don't think that didn't feel like a random confessional. It wasn't like get to know Caroline confessional. Mm-hmm. It was get to know the tribe that the boys are they're digging each other.
So after all these 15 or is it 15? 17 people left, Alexa, who's going to win?
Yeah, you gotta
give it. So, well, who I have a person, but who did you guys pick?
So, my winner pick was Sierra, and I feel good about it.
I love that.
Mine was TK, and I couldn't be happier about it.
And mine was Tiana, and like, I don't think she had a great episode tonight, but
it was pretty good.
Yeah,
she was good.
I think she was
in a good spot, Phil.
Yeah.
Before I clearly did absolutely zero preseason work, but. I think that Teenie's gonna win. There also may be a chance that I met her at a Bryce and Wendell party once, but I actually am not 100% sure. But
and she told you that she won?
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
And you're telling
like,
everyone here now?
It's like this bar is so loud.
Was
no,
that years ago or recently?
I really, really
like 6 years ago.
Yeah,
yeah, it was like, actually the first time I ever watched Survivor. Yeah, it was Survivor Panama, but No, I really, she was very confident. Like, she was like, this is my personality. And a lot of times, people who come in, like, very socially and very extroverted, that can go one of two ways. But not only was she like, this is who I am and I feel good, but everyone else was like, I like her. Like, I like that vibe. I want to work with her. That is a great, great, great sign. And she threw out someone's name and everyone was down, which is also scary and impressive. So
and she was talking about like I'm extroverted, so I need an introvert to go along with me, like knowing the social and played a lot of Survivor reality games. Like Survivor, I know she was in Survivor Gettysburg and all of that. I also think it was fun. Like, I know exactly what part of New Jersey she's from. I've said that a lot because she's like from right by me. But
are you from New Jersey, Phil?
Believe it or not.
Really?
Are you from the Bay Area, Will? Is that new? So with her coming out and being like, I'm a proud New Jersey and I know I look like I'm dressed like a cowboy or whatever with flannel and this and that, I thought it was fun because people are getting to know her personality. And by her saying that on the first mat, like on the opening mat, the other tribes get to know Teenie. And I think that's big for the game. So I had Tiana 1, Teenie 2, Sam 3. So I'm actually feeling – I'm feeling good. Sam is Jake O'Kane 2.0. I mean, it's coming, right? Like, he's
– it's happening. I don't know. Jake might – or Sam.
I don't think there could ever be a second Jake.
Yeah, Jake is pretty –
I feel strong about Sam.
In terms of prop bets, so I hope people got their prop bets in. I know we did that one late. Prop bet is going to be – it was the final game – that we did and is the one that we are giving away the custom pop Funko from Todd Herzog for. So that'll be fun. In terms of props that hit tonight, we had Gabe get a Hidden Meat Idol. And why did I click that one? That's not what I meant to click. Gabe got a Hidden Meat Idol and he got 10 or more confessionals in an episode. Asia got 10 or more confessionals in the episode. John Lovett had 5 or fewer votes, a confessional in every episode, and an episode title. And that was it. We didn't have anybody crying, no hugging, no. Okay, so here's a question. Do we count the journeys here? Were these journeys by TK and Asia, or is this something different?
100%.
You're saying yes, Blake shaking his head.
What else would it be?
This is the Sweat and Savvy replacement. Be a journey?
No, Sweat and Savvy wouldn't be because Sweat and Savvy happened at a tribe camp. What are you guys time. On?
Not every time.
Yeah.
It's going to have to go to the judicial board and we'll get back to you.
No, I mean, we literally saw the four boats leave the challenge. Like,
wait, let me do it. Off. I don't know what's going on.
If that's not a journey, what is your objective definition of a journey? I think it's when people go away from their camps with members of the other tribe. Was that not exactly what we saw?
They have to go with other members though, because Hunter or like, so what if they just went alone? That wouldn't be a journey.
Wait,
I think that still would be, actually. I think anytime you leave your camp to not go to a challenge, that's a journey.
Is the debate here, was this a journey or not?
Like, did Asia and TK go on a journey?
I would say no, because I'm thinking like capital J journey that Jeff sends them on to like give them idols.
See, there's that positive gaslighting we got going on.
I don't know how this would be considered a journey. I don't know what else would it be.
It's Sweat and Savvy.
I think I think for the sake of simplicity, we should probably just count it as one. I do because
I will argue this, like, for the sake of being correct, we should call it a journey.
I mean, well, whatever the argument wants to be, I think we just call it a journey, but it's not a capital J journey, as Alexa said. It's not a capital.
What is a capital J journey, though?
Lowercase
when Jeff J. is like, who is going on a journey? Like, they use the word journey.
Mm-hmm.
They use the word journey.
That's my thought. But I missed
They didn't go to a mountain. That is a good so smart
answer. But has he always used the word journey? I don't know. I feel like we're deep enough in it where it's like into the new era, I mean, that we know people leave their tribe camps to go do shit.
Mm-hmm. Big Brother came on after this. Oh my God. I have another hour.
Yay.
All those Survivor Big Brother fans, sound off in the comments right now. Are you even like, this is a good season of Big Brother, but I feel like Survivor's the main squeeze, man.
Oh yeah.
I was so pumped to watch.
All right, Blake, we're going to have to let you go.
Like, I didn't realize that you were wasting our time here. I think that's it. Was there anything else from this episode that we didn't touch on that we wanted to touch on?
We need more.
We did commercials. We did keys and boxes.
Commercials and keys and boxes were the top two things for sure.
John Lovett, what do you think about him going home first? And then before the cast gets announced, he's talking on a CBS thing of, hey, I went on this season of Survivor, like blowing through any NDA.
What did you think
about that person?
I think Survivor is doing it as a promotional material, to be honest. And I think it worked because he didn't go very far. And I think CBS was fine with it. I think they were doing it. I think they told him, like, go ahead.
Okay.
Sounds right.
Nick Alexa says Alexa Turner pick. She said teeny. That's there. This is big. Zach said Dr. Joe. Dr. Joe is back.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that.
How's that not a prop bet?
I know. Will Dr. Joe be back? Dr. Joe being back, and also, like, I think about back
over under Dr. Joe appearances 0.5 this season.
Dr. Joe cracks me up because
the up and down game
back in the day, he would just be like, oh man, like, you're not like bleeding from every orifice of your body, like, you're good, just go back to camp. And now he has to deal with Andy laying there, and he has to be like, oh, let's like cool you off and stuff. And you could tell Dr. Joe's like, where's the days of like Jonathan Penner's knee exploding? Where's the days of like this stuff? I didn't come back for this. I came back for real physical, you know, bad things. So I don't know. I just, Dr. Joe being back, I love that he's still around after all these years.
I love it. I wonder where he went.
I don't know.
It was kind of weird when he put that like bandana thing in the water, where I was like, what kind of bandana is that? That looks like it's like a medical sponge or something. It's like, I need one of those for when I get hot. I was heat wave last week.
Yeah.
All right, that's this week's Survivor.
Blake had no air conditioning for like 2 days, and he's never been warm.
Yeah, I'm never going on Survivor. I could not.
So Blake is like, he can't.
Survivor generalist.
Yeah. All right, well, on that note, then, I'll kind of give the update on everything that's going on. So this Sunday at 4 p.m., I will be live with Liz Wilcox from Survivor 46. Awesome. Me and Liz, it's just going to be the two of us, 4 p.m. on Sunday. Going to be a fun time. We're going to be doing our predictions and power rankings. If you are a top-tier patron, or if you want to become a top-tier patron, you can participate in the power rankings game. Go to patreon.com/thespecialist. I just sent a link to all of the $20 patrons. I know all of the $20 patrons didn't get their fantasy teams in. So sorry for you, as Jeff would say, but we gave a big notice on that one. So for the power rankings game, make sure to check the messages over on Patreon. It is a link, and then you can click it and you can do your power rankings. You're gonna have to do it every week, but this cuts out me having to just take emails and stuff from people. So this is much better. So go ahead, patreon.com/thespecialist, become a top tier patron if you want that. In addition, I'll be doing my first after show tomorrow. Will, Blake, and I have been doing Palau now for Every Season Matters. So that's what we're cruising through.
Great season.
Yeah, very fun. Doing Australian Survivor 2018. I finally watched a good episode. It only took 8 episodes for one to be good. Oh my God. 8 hours of my life that I'll never get back. And I finally got an episode where I said, that was good, very, very apathetically. John and McKenna will be doing Survivor Rewind starting on Friday, and then they'll also be doing an extra episode for patrons, which will come out on Saturdays. And Blake and I are going to be doing Digging Deeper. First episode is going to be tomorrow. We're going to have some guests throughout the season. I already know that we have one for the beginning of October. Very excited for that. I'm hoping Blake will join me on that podcast, because him and who the guest would be have a very, very good in-person relationship. Let me tell you, thumbs way, way down. Yeah.
I kind of remember, hopefully Blake
will join me for that podcast. I won't say who it is now, but tomorrow noon, me and Blake doing Digging Deeper. Sunday 4 p.m me and Liz Wilcox doing predictions and power rankings.
Oh, we got a Big Brother live episode,
dude,
tomorrow.
Yeah, Blake, tell me about Big Brother. Let's go. You have more people watching this than have ever watched a Big
There's
Brother
episode. Eight people left. Tomorrow we're going to final 7. We always do every Thursday night right after the eviction. Talk to us for 56 minutes. And then on Mondays, we recap the Sunday episode, because you're going to want to know what I think about that. And it's probably the best season in 6 years by far, but not a lot of traction there because we know how daunting it is. If you were waiting to get into Big Brother, this is the perfect time to just add it on another extra hour to your Survivor time every Wednesday. You know?
Yeah.
Are we locked into 2-hour episodes every time?
No, hour and a half.
Oh, okay, thank God.
Alexa, did you know Lisa, who was on Big Brother this season?
Lisa from, I don't know, let me look her up.
We went to college.
She went to Miami with us.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on, give me 30 seconds.
Like, that's the Utah U. This is the Miami U. This is the Utah U.
Lisa, what season of Big Brother is this?
Right now.
Just now, 26.
Lisa Weintraub is her name. She went to Miami with us.
Lisa Weintraub, why do I know that name?
Because
all these other people went to
college with us. Yeah.
Do you know her, Phil?
Will? Yeah, we both knew her.
This is crazy.
I know.
Hold on. All right. Next time
we get on Big Brother next season, Alexi. Yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Anyway, we'll do that.
That's a tangent. I just wanted to see if Alexa knew too. That's it. That's everything. That was a fun premiere. Let us know in the comments if you liked the premiere as much as we did. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, do all of that fun stuff. And I'm excited, man. I thought this was a good premiere. I kind of predicted John Lovett would go first, but here he is. He's out first, and I don't know. It was a good start.
Off to a hot start, Bill.
Yeah.
Suspiciously hot.
Yeah, so suspiciously hot. I love that. All right, everybody. We will see you later. Bye.
See ya.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.